This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning. This first part I'm going to talk about has nothing to do with my sermon. But whenever I hear that passage from Timothy, it reminds me, well, first of all, I'm one of four children born in 5.5 years, and then my parents figured out where babies came from. So we were like little puppies, just, you know, kind of all tumbling all over each other. So it was unusual when at the age of 13, my Canadian grandparents on my father's side gave me a Bible for my birthday, something they did not do for any of my siblings. And I was pretty excited about it at first until I opened it up. Now, first of all, it was King James. I'm just glad it wasn't the Vulgate or, you know, Greek or something like that, because at 13, King James was Greek enough for me. And then I was hoping that I would find some soft, fuzzy, you know, verse written down there, like Jesus loves you and will always be with you. No, I got study, show yourself worthy of dividing the word of the Lord and all that. So I just put it closed and put it back on the bookshelf for a very long time, let's just say that. So fast forward, I'm in my 40s, I'm at seminary, and one of our professors asked us, who ordained you? We're looking around like, what are you talking about? We're not ordained, we're here in seminary to be ordained. He said, no, somewhere in your life, someone has ordained you for your ministry. And I thought back about that Bible, and I realized that that moment was significant for me. So one of the things I'd like for you to think about today is who ordained you in your ministry, the ministry that you have. Who ordained you? Maybe it does tie into my sermon. Sometimes it takes people from outside to help us see what we can't see. Leprosy, beginning with very little pain, goes on in its sluggish but sure course until it mutilates the body, deforms the features, turns the voice into a croak, and makes the person who suffers a hopeless wreck. So when the lepers cry out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us, he does. He directs them to go immediately to the priests who had the authority to allow them back into the community, into society. And as they went, they were made clean. In other words, the cure came when they put their trust in Jesus and did as he commanded. Only the priests could pronounce them clean under the law, but only Jesus could actually heal them. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God in a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a foreigner. Only one of the 10 turned back. These men had been ceremonially unclean for years and years and ostracized from the community. This man would have been ostracized anyway because he was a Samaritan. So just his very being made him ritually or ceremonially unclean. Surely he was as consumed with his plight as the others, but he realized from whom he had received his true source of freedom. Now, to be sure, the other 9 had been healed. They got what they wanted. But this guy got more than he had ever dreamed of even asking for. Sometimes it takes an outsider to see what we cannot see for ourselves. Jesus was an outsider. He could have passed them by, as so many surely did each day, but he didn't. He saw them. He saw behind their deformity. He saw the human beings that they were behind this appearance, and he took mercy on them. And on their way, their outward wounds were healed. I suppose that's exactly what the priest saw. Outward wounds healed, passport stamped, admission back into the community granted. But what of the years these lepers had endured being shunned and marginalized, enslaved in the very eyes of these men of God? Someone once said, their disease was contagious, but it was more than that. It was their pain, their loneliness, their unspeakable fear that no one wanted to catch. And so they were kept at a distance, barred from the religious community and declared unworthy of God. The other nine lepers, presumably Jesus' own people, presumably aware of the stories of his miraculous healings, what did they see? An opportunity? Call him master, who cares? If he can heal me, great. If he can't, nothing lost. They saw their outward healing, but apparently they did not have the eyes to see the one who had healed them. They took their experience of healing as a one-off. They would not be needing Jesus, his assistance, any further. Thanks for rescuing me, Jesus. I'll take it from here now. But the Samaritan, an outsider, did see Jesus for who he really was. Jesus was truly the master of this man's salvation. He didn't need a priest to certify his cure. He knew where it came from. There are no strangers, no foreigners in God's world. Last week, the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith, to which he replied that the faith they wished for comes from beyond themselves. It is a gift from God, and their faith is to be one of dependency, looking to God for the power to accomplish miracles. On the way to Jerusalem this day, what that faith in action looks like when two outsiders, Jesus and the Samaritan leper, can be seen by the disciples, when they witness these two men looking to God for the power to accomplish miracles.